Hello and welcome. This is Brother Mike at May-21, 2011.com. With another study in Jeremiah 51, we're going to cover verses 5 through 8. I'll begin by reading the four verses, 5 through 8, and then we'll go into the introduction as we usually do, and then we'll go into each verse one at a time. So beginning with verse 5, we read, "For Israel has not been forsaken, nor Judah of his God, of the Lord of hosts, though their land was filled with sin against the Holy One of Israel. Flee out of the midst of Babylon, and deliver every man his soul. Be not cut off in her iniquity. For this is the time of the Lord's vengeance. He will render unto her a recompense." Babylon has been a golden cup in the Lord's hand that made all the earth drunken. The nations have drunken of her wine. Therefore, the nations are mad. Babylon is suddenly fallen and destroyed. Howl for her. Take balm for her pain. If so be, she may be healed. In these verses, 5 through 8 of Jeremiah 51, we are told that Israel and Judah have not been forsaken by Yahweh of hosts. Although the land of Israel and Judah was full of sin against the Holy One of Israel, and so Yahweh sent Babylon to destroy his own people and take them into exile, he is now bringing his vengeance against Babylon for having come against his own people. And he is commanding his people to flee out of the midst of Babylon and deliver every man his soul, to not be cut off in Babylon's iniquity. For this is the time of Yahweh's vengeance, and he will render unto Babylon a recompense for what they did in destroying his own people. And yes, even the whole earth. Indeed, Babylon has been a golden cup in Yahweh's hand that made all the earth drunken. The nations have been drunken with her wine. Therefore, the nations are mad. But now Babylon is suddenly fallen, and she is broken. Babylon will not ever again be used in Yahweh's hand to bring judgment against his own people, but she will soon be annihilated forevermore. Now, we know what this all meant historically in the ancient times of Yahweh's people. But what does all this mean for us today? How do these verses apply to us today? That's what really matters. The answer to this question will be found in the following study. May Yahweh grant his blessing upon us as we focus upon his word. Amen. Let's start with verse 51. Chapter 51, verse 5. It reads, "For Israel has been forsaken, has not been forsaken, nor Judah of his God, of the Lord of hosts, though their land was filled with sin against the Holy One of Israel." In this verse we first read, "For Israel has not been forsaken, nor Judah of his God." In the Bible, both the terms Israel and Judah can be used in three ways. First, literally and historically, the terms Israel and Judah can be used to refer to the ancient peoples of Israel. In this case, Israel refers to the 10 northern Israelite tribes of Canaan, and the term Judah refers to the 2 southern Israelite tribes of Canaan. Second, and spiritually, Israel and Judah can refer to the elect as Israel and Judah represent all of Israel, and Israel, referring to all the elect, can refer to the elect, as we find in Galatians 6, for instance, where we read in verses 14 through 16, "But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision avails anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be unto them, and mercy, and upon the Israel of God." Here, the Israel of God refers to all those who have become a new creature in Christ Jesus, which is all the elect. But now, third, the terms Israel and Judah can refer to all the Christian churches throughout the world as well, since they were the external representation of the elect until they were all given over to the Antichrist or counterfeit Christ for judgment during the Great Tribulation from May 21, 1988 to May 21, 2011. I encourage you to click on the link, Why Leave All Churches, and also to listen to 2 Thessalonians 2:1-11, The Man of Sin, by clicking on the link. So in summary, to this point, the terms Israel and Judah can refer either to the ancient historical people of Israel, the elect, number two, or the Christian churches, number three. And as to which of these any given usage of the terms Israel and Judah refers depends upon the context. Now, returning to the first part of our verse, we once again read, "For Israel has not been forsaken, nor Judah of his God." And we must now ask the question, in this context, what do the terms Israel and Judah refer to? There's three possibilities. But here, on the one hand, they refer to the historical ancient people of Israel and Judah, who had been conquered by the Assyrians in 79 BC, and then the Babylonians in 587 BC, respectively, due to their sins, but who are being told through Isaiah the prophet that they have not been forsaken by their God, because Yahweh is bringing wrath upon the Babylonians through the Medes and Persians for their sins in having conquered them. But on the other hand, and in the spiritual dimension, the terms Israel and Judah in our verse can also refer to the elect who had been conquered in the churches by the kingdom of Satan, that is the Babylonians, due to their participation in the church's sins during the Great Tribulation from May 21, 1988 to May 21, 2011. But we are now being told through Isaiah the prophet that Yahweh has not forsaken us, as he has brought wrath upon the Babylonians, that is this world, including all the churches, ever since May 21, 2011, by having removed any possibility for any of their eternal salvations. It is the vengeance of Yahweh, the vengeance of our God. Yes, the world, that is Babylon, was used by our God to bring spiritual destruction to all the churches in which the elect once resided. But now our God is bringing spiritual destruction upon the world, that is Babylon, and all those who infiltrated the churches from Babylon, for having spiritually destroyed all the churches. Therefore, Yahweh has not forsaken his people, but he is avenging his people by bringing spiritual destruction upon the peoples of this world, including all those who infiltrated the churches, that is Babylon, for having brought spiritual destruction to all the churches in which Yahweh's people once dwelt. Therefore, Israel, that is the elect, has not been forsaken, nor Judah, that refers to the elect also, of his God. Next, our verse calls the God of Israel and Judah the Lord of hosts. Since the word translated as Lord is really the word Yahweh, and the word translated as hosts can be translated as armies, our verse now reads, of Yahweh of armies. This is meant to remind Israel and Judah, that is the elect, that their God is a God of armies, and in context, he is the God who has brought judgment upon their enemies, that is Babylon, with his army to show that he has not forsaken them. So, in that Yahweh is a God of armies should encourage us, the elect, as he has what it takes to avenge us of all wrongdoing. And as we read in Romans 12, verse 19, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. And repay he is doing, as he has removed any possibility of eternal salvation from our enemies, the peoples of Babylon, the peoples of this world, including the peoples of all the churches. What could he do to our enemies that is any more severe than this? For now they can never be granted forgiveness unto eternal salvation, and they will all soon face annihilation on the relatively soon to come last day of judgment day that we are now in. So, all the wrongdoings that we have suffered from spiritual enemy, from our enemies here on earth, have now been avenged and are being avenged. Justice indeed has come. Now, continuing with our verse, we read, though their land was filled with sin against the Holy One of Israel. Here, we are being told that even though the land of Israel and Judah, that is the land of us, the elect, namely all the churches, was filled with sin against the Holy One of Israel, he has not forsaken us. Sure, he chastened us as a father chastens his rebellious children because of all the sins that we, the elect, participated in while yet a part of a rebellious Christian church. But he has not forsaken us, for even though he had once scattered us by removing us all from our home in the churches, he has now brought us back to our own spiritual land in Jesus Christ, apart from all the churches, where we are being fed on pure milk and meat of the Word, and where we will soon transition into the new heaven and earth on the last day of judgment day that we are now in. Well, let's remind ourselves of some of the sins of the Christian churches that we were a part of, to some extent or another, that we may never fall into the same errors again. There is the sin of believing, for instance, that Christ died for everyone in the world, and now it's up to everyone to choose Christ for their own salvation. This was a terrible sin because it put salvation into the hands of people instead of completely in the hands of God. And many people thought that they were saved because they simply chose Christ in their minds, but never did experience the spiritual rebirth wrought completely by the hand of God alone. Then there is the sin of making church confessions equal to or even above the Word of God, and the false practice of baptizing infants without evidence of their salvation. Then there's the false teaching and belief that Yahweh is still giving direct revelation today through dreams, visions, voices, tongues, prophesyings, manifestations of one kind or another, and the like, and all the false gospels which add to the Word of God with other revelations or writings which they claim came from Yahweh. Then there is all the churches that have church governments other than that of qualified elders, or they selected elders who were not qualified according to the Holy Scripture. Then there are churches that have women pastors and teachers for the congregation, which is against the Word of God. And there are churches which falsely believe that one must be baptized or speak in tongues to be saved. Then there are churches that falsely maintain Saturday as being the day of worship, and other churches that falsely focus upon positive thinking. Then there are churches that wrongly force people to come up front to be saved during an altar call. And there are other churches that wrongly permit homosexual memberships. Then there are all the churches that wrongly teach divorce and remarriage for reasons other than the death of the spouse, which has been instrumental in helping to destroy the family. And none of the churches recognize that the church age has ended, nor that eternal salvation has come to an end as of May 21, 2011. These and many other sins can be found in the so-called Christian churches of our day. No wonder Yahweh tells us that the land of Israel and Judah, the churches wherein the elect dwell, that is, was full of sin against the Holy One of Israel. Yet, even though the churches in which the elect once dwelt were full of sin, we are told that Yahweh has not forsaken His people, and this can be seen in that Yahweh has brought His people out of all the churches to dwell in their own spiritual land in Christ. And He has turned against all those who infiltrated all the churches to spiritually destroy them. Those who have remained in the churches are all now certain to remain unsaved and certain to perish on the soon-to-come last day of judgment day that we are now in, for Yahweh has not forsaken His people. Moving on to verse 6 of Jeremiah 51, verse 6. It reads, "Flee out of the midst of Babylon, and deliver every man his soul. Be not cut off in her iniquity, for this is the time of the Lord's vengeance. He will render unto her a recompense." Here we first read, "Flee out of the midst of Babylon." This is a command for us, the elect, to flee out of the midst of Babylon. That is, flee out of this world of sin and flee out of all the churches. The way we flee out of this world of sin is to examine ourselves for any behaviors in our life which do not match up to how Christ would behave in the same situation and change them through the Spirit to conform to Christ. For this we pray and ask that the Holy Spirit would reveal through Yahweh's Word where we need to change, and then give us the power and desire to do so, that we may be holy as He is holy. For without holiness no one shall see the Lord. This is the work of sanctification that we continue to go through in this life. Lord, grant us the ability for changes of lifestyle where needed to be pleasing to You. Lay on our minds those things which need to be improved, and grant us everything we need to become like You. Amen. But not only are we to flee out of this world, that is Babylon, but we are to flee out of all the churches, that is Babylon as well. Many of us already departed out from our church in about the year 2001. But if you are still attending a church at this time after Judgment Day began on May 21, 2011, you must now depart out in obedience to the Lord. Indeed, you are being commanded to depart out. We read of this command in Revelation 18 as well, where we read in verse 4, "And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, that is, come out of Babylon, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues." There are those who may be wondering how it is that all the churches have become Babylon. Well, they have become Babylon because Satan and his kingdom were used by Yahweh to bring judgment against all the churches during the spiritual great tribulation from May 21, 1988 to May 21, 2011. And as soon as Satan began to rule over all the churches in judgment during this great tribulation, the churches became known as Babylon. Once Satan begins to rule over something, it becomes Babylon. And because he started to rule over the churches as judgment against them, the churches became Babylon. And so when we are now commanded to come out of Babylon, we are being commanded to come out from all the churches. Now notice what our verse says next. It states, "And deliver every man his soul. Be not cut off in her iniquity." Obviously, this is a good reason to depart out of Babylon, to deliver every man his soul and to not be cut off in her iniquity. The idea is that to remain in all the churches means that your soul will not be delivered, but it will be cut off in the church's iniquity. That is, if one is seen to remain in their church, even after being revealed the scriptures which command them to come out of their church, it is good evidence that they are not saved, and that they are destined to be cut off or perish in their sins on the soon-to-come last day of Judgment Day. So, is it important that one come out from his or her church? Absolutely. For in which way people react to the Lord's command to depart out of the church reveals where they stand spiritually. Whether they are saved and being saved by Yahweh, or whether they are altogether being cut off from eternal salvation in their sins and the sins of their church, of which they are a part as long as they remain therein. Now finally, we are given the reason as to why Yahweh's people must depart out of the churches. We read, "For this is the time of the Lord's vengeance. He will render unto her a recompense." In other words, Babylon, the unsaved people of the world and churches, spiritually destroyed all the churches during the Great Tribulation. But now, ever since May 21, 2011, it is time for Yahweh to spiritually destroy Babylon. That is the unsaved people of the world, including all those of the churches. For what they had spiritually done to all the Christian churches before Judgment Day began on May 21, 2011, when the elect were still a part of all the churches. And what Yahweh is now doing to Babylon to repay them for what they did to all the churches is to remove eternal salvation from their midst. Just as Babylon, in a sense, removed eternal salvation from all the churches by replacing the true gospel with false gospels and teachings, so Yahweh has now removed eternal salvation from them. None of them can any longer be saved, and they are all certain to perish on the relatively soon to come last day of Judgment Day that we are now in. Verse 7 of Jeremiah 51. Let's look at verse 7. It reads, "Babylon has been a golden cup in the Lord's hand, that he made all the earth drunken. The nations have drunken of her wine. Therefore the nations are mad." Let me read that one more time. "Babylon has been a golden cup in the Lord's hand that made all the earth drunken. The nations have drunken of her wine. Therefore the nations are mad." In this verse, we first read, Babylon has been a golden cup in the Lord's hand. The word Lord here is the word Yahweh, and in that this golden cup is in Yahweh's hand means that it has been subject to the will of Yahweh, as the hand or hands in the Bible is commonly known to represent the will. And so in that Babylon has been a golden cup in Yahweh's hand means that Babylon has been under the will of Yahweh. He has been sovereign over Babylon, as of course he is sovereign over all things. Now we are told that this cup, that is Babylon, in Yahweh's hand, that is under his control, is a golden cup. The idea of being golden is that this cup, that is Babylon, which is the kingdom of Satan, has outwardly been appearing brilliant, splendid, and holy like gold. That is, she appears to be good and right. But inwardly, she's like the Pharisees, of whom Christ declared in Luke 11:39, "Now do you Pharisees make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but your inward part is full of ravening and wickedness." It is by her wine of wickedness that Babylon, we read, made all the earth drunken. The nations have drunken of her wine. And her wine has been all the false beliefs, religions, philosophies, and teachings that all the nations now believe. They have drunken of her wine. And the result is that falsehood is everywhere. There are the false religions of Islam and Judaism. And now all the so-called Christian churches in the world are false as well. For they have all been spiritually destroyed by the wine of Babylon's wickedness during the Great Tribulation. And then there are the false religions of Hinduism, Buddhism, Taoism, Shintoism, even atheism, and you name it. Everywhere there are false belief systems and false gods. And the reason for all this? The nations have drunken of her, that is Babylon's, wine. Now finally, the result of all the nations having drunk of Babylon's wine is, we read, "Therefore the nations are mad." That is, the peoples of the nations are crazy or mad. They believe so many things that are false that they seem to be mad or crazy. Think about it. Before May 21, 2011, there was one way through Jesus Christ in which a person could be saved for all eternity in happiness. But they all in themselves chose another way. They all wanted to go to heaven, yes, but they all chose a way that leads to death. They are all like madmen. You would think that a rational person who wants to go to heaven and live eternally in bliss would choose the only way that can lead to heaven. But they have all chosen another way that leads to death. This doesn't make any sense except to realize that they're all crazy or mad. They would rather die than go to heaven. They would rather do things their way than God's way. They would rather suffer death than gain eternal life. Thus is the madness of the nations who have drunken of her, Babylon's, wine. We get a reflection of the madness of the nations through their various false beliefs. There's so many of them. But for instance, let's think for a moment on the beliefs of ISIS, who believe the way to heaven is to murder the infidels. Or think about the craziness of many Hindus who actually believe they can wash away their sins in the dirty, filthy Ganges River. Or the madness of the Mormon cult that believes that they can become a god to rule over their own planet and eternally procreate with their wives to bear a multitude of children to inhabit that planet. Then there is the craziness of the cult of Catholicism, which believes many false things. One thing being that a wafer of bread in their mass literally turns into Christ's physical body, so that if you happen to drop the wafer on the floor, you have dropped the body of Christ on the floor. Indeed, I know a person who once dropped the wafer of bread on the floor during a mass, and she was then heavily chastised by a nun for doing so. Or consider the madness of the cult of Judaism, which although believes the Old Testament to have come from the mouth of Yahweh, They can't see that the Messiah foretold in their holy scriptures is Jesus Christ. Or consider the madness of all those millions of people each year who murder their child in the name of pro-choice. Yes, the madness of all the nations is seen in all the false beliefs in them. And all these false beliefs have come about because the nations have drunken of her, that is Babylon's wine. Moving on to the last verse that we will cover in this study, verse 8, verse 8 of Jeremiah 51. It reads, Babylon is suddenly fallen and destroyed. Howl for her. Take balm for her pain. If so, be she may be healed. Here we first read, Babylon is suddenly fallen and destroyed. More literally, it reads, Babylon is suddenly fallen and she is broken. This reminds us of what we read in Revelation 18, where we read in verse 2, and he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. And you can click on the link to learn more about Revelation 18. And we are reminded of what we once read in Jeremiah 50, verse 2. Declare ye among the nations, and publish, and set a standard. Publish and conceal not. Say, Babylon is taken. Bel is confounded. Merodach is broken in pieces. For her idols are confounded. Her images are broken in pieces. And you can get more information on that verse by clicking on the link. In that Babylon is fallen, or taken, or is broken, refers to May 21, 2011, when eternal salvation was removed from her midst. It guarantees that no one who is a part of Babylon, that is this world, including all the churches, can now be eternally saved, which ensures that they will all now perish forever on the relatively soon to come last day of judgment day that we are now in. Indeed, Babylon is fallen, and in Christ Jesus they are not considered a part of the... But let me read that again. But because the elect have spiritually fled from this world to the spiritual land which is in Christ Jesus, they are not considered a part of this world and are not subject to her spiritual plagues. So, everyone in the world who was not eternally saved by May 21, 2011 is a part of Babylon. None of them can now be eternally saved, but are guaranteed to soon perish forever. This is why it is that Babylon, that is this world, including all the churches, is fallen, and why she is broken. The elect, on the other hand, have fled to their own spiritual land in Jesus Christ, and so they are not a part of Babylon. They will never perish, but have eternal life. Now, continuing with our verse, we read, howl for her, take balm for her pain, if so be she may be healed. Here we are first exhorted to howl for her. In other words, cry out for her because she is now, as of May 21, 2011, fallen, and she is broken. For Babylon, that is all the churches, had once been the elect spiritual home for the 1955 years of the church age, from 33 AD to May 21, 1988. But now, beginning with Judgment Day, she has been spiritually destroyed. So howl or cry out in mourning for her. But not only howl or cry out for her, but take balm for her. The idea is to use this balm as a medicine to heal all the Christian churches, that is Babylon, from all their sins. If so, be she may be healed. But She cannot be healed because the gospel, which once could spiritually heal or save, can no longer heal or save as of May 21, 2011. So it's understandable by why we read such verses as Jeremiah 8, verse 22. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? The answer to the question, is there no balm in Gilead, is that yes, there is balm. That is the gospel or word of God. The balm which heals or saves is present to all the churches, being represented by Gilead or Babylon. And there are physicians present. That is, there are people to bring the word of God, that is the balm, to all the churches. But the word of God, the balm, can no longer heal or save as of May 21, 2011. It is Judgment Day. Therefore, it is understandable why we also read in Jeremiah 46:11, "Go up into Gilead and take balm, O virgin, the daughter of Egypt. In vain shalt thou use many medicines, but thou shalt not be cured." Yes, the gospel or a word of God, the balm, is available for Gilead, that is all the churches, which in this verse is also called, O virgin, the daughter of Egypt. But it cannot heal or save, and therefore we read, "In vain shalt thou use many medicines, for thou shalt not be cured." So although we take balm, the gospel, for her, for Babylon, which symbolizes all the churches, if so she may be healed, nevertheless, she will not be healed. Which leads us to the verse 9 of Jeremiah 51 that we will cover in our next study. But for now, let's make a conclusion to this study. In conclusion, although Israel and Judah, that is all the Christian churches, were filled with sin against the Holy One of Israel, and so Yahweh employed Babylon, that is Satan and his kingdom, to spiritually destroy them, Israel and Judah, that is the elect who were once in all the churches, have not been forsaken of Yahweh of armies, as he is now bringing vengeance and a recompense against Babylon. Ever since Judgment Day began on May 21, 2011, for having spiritually destroyed all the churches of which the elect were once a part. His recompense against Babylon, that is the world, and all churches, is that he has removed any possibility of eternal salvation from their midst. Ever since Judgment Day began on May 21, 2011, this has resulted in Yahweh now exhorting everyone who will listen to flee out of the midst of Babylon, which means that we are to separate ourselves from the sins of this world, Babylon, and to flee out of all the churches, Babylon, so that every man deliver his soul and be not cut off in Babylon's iniquity. In other words, if you want to be eternally saved, you must separate yourselves from this world of sin, and you must depart out from all the churches. This does not mean that you can now be eternally saved by obedience instead of grace, but it means that if you obey the Lord to come out from this world and your church, it is evidence that maybe you are already saved before May 21, 2011. Maybe you were already saved if you're willing to obey what God says. Now, we are told that Babylon has been a golden cup in Yahweh's hand. In that Babylon has been a golden cup means that she has given the appearance that she's good, right, and holy. And in that Babylon has been in Yahweh's hand means that she has been used according to Yahweh's will. And the way that Babylon was used is to bring judgment against the entire world, including all the churches, due to their sins, by giving the world and churches over to Babylon's false beliefs, philosophies, religions, and teachings. These are the wine that the nations drank, which has made them mad or crazy. That is, because of all the false beliefs that the world holds to, she appears mad or crazy in the light of the truth. But now, as of May 21, 2011, Babylon is suddenly fallen and broken, with no possibility of any of Babylon's peoples being eternally saved. So, we are told to howl for her, take balm for her, if so she may be healed, which means that we would have brought the gospel or word of God to Babylon, if so she may be healed or saved. But, of course, because salvation has ended as of May 21, 2011, she cannot be healed or saved, which is why we read the following in the next verse in Jeremiah 51, verse 9, to be covered in our next study. It reads, "We would have healed Babylon, but she is not healed. Forsake her, and let us go, everyone, into his own country, for her judgment reaches unto heaven and is lifted up even to the skies." Now, until the next time, may Yahweh, through our Lord Jesus Christ, bless thee and keep thee. Yahweh make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. Yahweh lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.